What's happening locally? The news.
And indeed, it is time for this morning's look, some of the local news stories for you here in the Republic of Panama. The government of Panama informed Nicaragua that it decided to call José de Jesús Martínez, Panamanian ambassador for their country, for consultations. The reason? The political activities of former Panamanian President Ricardo Martinelli from the headquarters of the Nicaraguan embassy located in the La Alameda urbanization where he is entrenched. In a diplomatic note, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Panama reiterated its strongest protest to Nicaragua by allowing, under the protection of an alleged protection, which is illegal in accordance with international law, former President Martinelli to maintain and deploy actions from the diplomatic headquarters for political partisan purposes. The Republic of Panama feels truly affected in this territorial integrity by the permissive attitude of the Republic of Nicaragua that flagrantly and repeatedly violates fundamental norms of international law, says the letter, dated this Monday, the 22nd of April. Likewise, through the note, Panama asks Nicaragua to comply with its international obligations. It is not the first time that Panama sent several notes to Nicaragua about the case of the former Panamanian president, who, from the embassy, meets with his family, co-partisans and candidates of his Realizing Goals party. Likewise, on social networks, he shares messages in favor of José Raúl Mulino, who replaced him as presidential candidate with a view to the elections of the 5th of May. It must be remembered that on at least four occasions, February the 9th and 27th and March the 8th and the 14th, Panama has sent letters to Nicaragua to object to the asylum granted to Martinelli, who claims to be politically persecuted. In the last of these notes, the country formally protested the permissive attitude of the government of Nicaragua by openly and defiantly contravening the development of its embassy. Meanwhile, Nicaragua, through its Ministry of Foreign Affairs, has rejected Panama's accusations and instead asked to recognize the asylum and grant safe passage so that Martinelli can travel to that Central American country. The 72-year-old former president of Panama entered the Nicaraguan embassy on February the 7th, 5 days after the Supreme Court of Justice announced that the criminal chamber had not admitted an appeal for cassation presented by Martinelli and four others, people sentenced to prison for laundering the funds used to acquire the shares of Editora Panama America S.A. in the so-called new business case. The sentence he received was 128 months in prison and a $19.2 million fine. At a crucial moment in which the constitutionality of one of the eight presidential candidates for the elections of the 5th of May is being legally debated, most of the main members of the Supreme Court of Justice are absent, some on vacation and, well, others will go on a work trip. According to information from the General Secretariat of the Court, Judges Maribel Cornejo and Ariadne Garcia are on vacation. Cornejo from April the 15th to the 2nd of May, or Garcia from this Monday the 22nd of April, also until the 2nd of May. Maria Eugenia Lopez, President of the Court, and her colleagues Angel Russo and Mariam Cheng will go on a work trip from the 24th through to the 26th of April. Their deputies will be in charge, although the judicial branch does not have an updated list of substitute magistrates on its website. As approved by the Cabinet, the substitutes for the travelling or vacation magistrates are Juan Francisco Castillo, this is for Lopez Arias, Katia de Bello from Russo, Liliane Marie Ducre from Cheng, and Manuel Mata Avenando from Garcia, and last but not least, Otilda Vergara for Cornejo. Lopez, Cornejo and Garcia make up the second criminal chamber of the court, which means that this department would be completely left without its main magistrates. In the hands of the Supreme Court is the future of the candidacy of José Raúl Mulino, the presidential standard-bearer for the Realizing Goals and Alianza parties. The 11-1 agreement with which the Electoral Tribunal authorized Mulino to assume the presidential candidacy of RM and Alianza was sued as unconstitutional in court. Molino was the candidate for vice president of the formula of these two parties. In the opinion of political analyst José Eugenio Stout, it must be understood that they are practically avoiding ruling on the Molino case, which in practice is an irresponsible way of making a decision. If this is confirmed, the absences, the Supreme Court of Justice will have lost credibility and legitimacy, which it gained with its ruling on the contract with First Quantum, he added. Actors from civil society, jurists, and even presidential candidate Martin Torrijos have called for the issue to be resolved. During a press conference he held on the 1st of April, Torrijos said, "It is not normal that it is still unknown how the presidential electoral ballot will be made up facing the elections on the 5th of May." The anti-corruption prosecutor Maria Arús requested a conviction for the alleged commission of the crimes of embezzlement and falsification of documents for former deputy Mario Miller and seven other people, after an investigation that revealed the deputies of the National Assembly used forms of that entity to defraud the state. During a trial held last Wednesday, the 17th of April, prosecutor Arús requested a conviction verdict for Miller and Midgalia Sanchez, also accused for the crimes of embezzlement and falsification of documents. While for the accused, Maria Arús, Maricel Arús, Isabel Arús, Erin Dia González, Edith Navarro and Ismail Fries requested a conviction verdict for the crime of embezzlement. During the trial, the defence lawyers presented three incidents of annulment for the process, but these will be resolved by the first judge liquidating criminal cases, Agueda Arrenatiera, and this is at the time of handing down the sentence. After the scandal of Miller's involvement, the Democratic Change Party, to which he belongs, decided to separate him from that political conglomerate so he could face the judicial process. The investigation began back in 2014, following an investigation carried out by the newspaper La Prensa, which revealed that some of the deputies used the National Assembly payroll to defraud the state through the issuance of checks in the name of third parties, who exchanged the checks and charged a commission for this task, and the rest of the money was delivered to Miller and the rest of the defendants in this case. The checks issued by the National Assembly were supposed to provide financial aid to communities in need, but these funds were never delivered to their residents. The Autodromo Panama took a very important step for national motorsport when the track received Grade 3 from the International Federation, the FIA. This was confirmed by the president of the FIA, Mohamed Ben Salman, in a video before starting the first Grand Prix of the GT Challenge of the Americas. "This is a dream to see this track and hit this high-level category," said Dante Pescetto, the FIA representative in Panama. "In America, only Mexico and Brazil have a Grade 3 track," he added. "All racetracks need authorization from the FIA, which has licenses for Grade 1 to 6 tracks. The top category, of course, is Grade 1, which can celebrate the Formula 1 Grand Prix. The evaluation ranges from the dimensions of the track and the weight of the cars. Precisely, the Autodromo Panama, upon receiving License 3, can organize and celebrate GT Challenge, de las Americas and Formula 4 races. We are news in Formula 1, being approved in Category 3. This makes us the third track in all of America," and this was confirmed by the president of the FIA from China, said Norberto Navarro, president of the Autodromo Panama. "We achieved the goal of putting Panama in an important position in the racing world. We already have requests from Formula 3 that wants to do an event, Formula 4, Porsche Cup, the TCR, and we also want to do a Formula 1 event," he concluded. Kenneth Darlington, accused of the murder of two people in Charme in November this year, is being held in the La Jolla Penitentiary Complex. This is by order issued by the Judicial Branch, the General Directorate of the Penitentiary System reported in a statement. The organization in this way discards the rumors of the change of detention location of the 77-year-old Darlington, who was charged with crimes of aggravated intentional homicide and possession and trafficking of weapons and explosives. Kenneth Darlington shot Ivan Rodriguez and Abdi Elgias, who were at the demonstrations against the mining activity on the 7th of November of last year in Charme. Both lost their lives in the incident. St. Pedro Nolasco, the founder of the Order of Mercy, comes to life through a virtual avatar in the Merced Church in the old town of Panama City. A vertical touchscreen is the display case in which this avatar of the monk Nolasco, born in Barcelona, Spain in the year 1180, lives. Visitors can select different options to learn about the history of the church and the historic center of the capital of the isthmus. Welcome to the Old Town of Panama, a historic destination to live the faith intensively, says the monk Nolasco, as he guides users to follow the virtual tour with the option of a tourist visit or the description of the church. The priest tells how the order of mercenaries arrived in Panama more than 500 years ago. The virtual assistant that is installed in each of the churches and religious sites in Casco has in its menu the tourist visit option, in which it shows a video of all the religious sites of interest in the area and an interactive map. Additionally, the application can be activated in both Spanish and English. Maria Isabel Arrocha, in charge of the public program for the churches of the Old Town, highlights that using technology and modern tools, they seek to help attract more tourists by giving them facilities to locate in the area. Sometimes we see tourists on the streets a little disorientated about where to go and what to do. They don't have a map and are somewhat lost, so what we have done is place the virtual assistant in each of the churches. And that's it. There we go. There's our look at some of the news items for today, compiled for you on this morning's programme.